special service, all 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time for your special service. We appreciate those who are serving tonight to help the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. God bless you. All of that's a great, great thing. Good Sunday night crowd. Thank you for being here. It's been good to have the Josh Florence family with us, our missionaries to Papua New Guinea. And I've asked him to come speak for us tonight. Brother Josh, God bless you. Make sure that microphone's on, okay?
In Papua New Guinea, they have a thing that they call a stone face. And it's really strange because I grew up in the Bible Belt. I grew up in just west of Atlanta, Georgia. And when you walk around in the town or you pull into the grocery store, if you see somebody you don't know, you just smile at them as you walk by. I mean, that's just kind of like a normal thing. Not in the town where I went to in Papua New Guinea. They have this thing they call the stone face, like what that fellow's doing right there. I'm just playing with you, brother. But if they see a stranger, I mean, and I don't know, most of them don't have mirrors. So I really honestly don't think that they realize that they are doing that. But man, it took me a while to get used to that. And even now, people that I know, that I've known for 3 years living in that town, I will see them going through town and they've got that look on their face. But when I see them not going through town, when I see them hanging out around their house and in their villages outside of town, it's not like that. But it's just a very, very interesting thing. So I try to smile at folks as much as I can so I don't get that stone face thing going on. If you got your Bible there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, by the way, it encourages me when you smile and when you nod. But when you look at me like this, that makes it hard to preach. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 15. Bear with me and I'll try to give some explanation quickly as we get into the message. I feel honored and privileged to be here tonight. I don't take standing behind this sacred desk lightly, and I pray that the Lord would help us this evening. Out of thankfulness and honor for the Word of God, if we could stand just for a moment for the reading of this one verse, and then I'll pray and we can be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 15, it says, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to see tonight what are some of the marks of a growing faith. Father, we do love you this evening and we thank you so much for this honor and this privilege, and I pray you would just help us tonight. Touch us, speak to our hearts, and allow us to take a step of faith like we've never seen you work in our lives before. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Please be seated. I want us to ask ourselves this evening, ask yourselves right now, is there anything in my life that could hinder the work of God, especially in this area of the evangelistic outreach of this local church? Is there something in my life that could hinder the evangelistic outreach, the missions outreach of my church? Paul said that he was hindered by the Corinthians' lack of faith. One commentator said it like this: by the increase of the faith of the church there, he would extend into the regions beyond. Another one said it like this: Paul added another bit of holy irony when he told the Corinthians that the only thing that had kept him from going to the regions beyond them was their lack of faith. Whew, I would have hated to have been one of the ones in the Corinthian church at that time. Another one said that by spiritual growth, a church can enable a minister to evangelize even unto the parts beyond them. I think it's fair to say that Paul is saying here he was hindered by their faith not being increased. You say, well, what does that mean when your faith is increased? Is that something like God is going to just miraculously do that for us? That word translated there as increased is translated another place in the Bible as grow. In Luke 12:27, consider the lilies, how they grow. So you could say it like this: when your faith grows, when your faith is growing, we will be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Now, there's a number of areas where our faith can grow, obviously. There's so many areas that we need our faith to grow in, and there's the area of prayer, obviously. We need to grow in our praying, don't we? How many of you say, Brother Josh, I pray more than I ought to? I don't think any of us. There's another area that we could say that we need to grow in our faith, and that's in the area of witnessing. How many of you could say, I witness way too much right now? I don't need to grow in that area. None of us. We could say that we need to grow in this area of separation and holiness. Praise God. I could preach on that, but I'm not. We definitely need to grow in that area, but I think it's one area that we can obviously focus on this evening is the area of our giving. Can you say that it would be fair to say that we could grow in this area of faith in the area of giving? Our faith can grow in the area of giving. I think that it's fair, it's logical to conclude, based on the fact that he was talking about giving in chapter 8 and chapter 9, grace giving, that it's logical and fair to assume that one of the areas that they needed to grow in, the Corinthian church needed to grow in, to increase in, would be this area of giving. And that would enable him, amongst other things, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond them. Paul told them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 9, that the Macedonians supported him through this giving so that he could preach the gospel to the Corinthians. He told them, he told us in Philippians that the Philippians chapter 4, verse number 15, the Philippians gave once and again to supply his needs, and he was able to preach to those Corinthians. And now he's telling the Corinthians, when your faith grows, I will be enlarged, enabled by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. It's biblical for us to support, above our tithes and offerings, worldwide evangelistic outreach. It's biblical. That's how the local churches did it in the New Testament. That's how Paul was enabled through, as well as a number of other ways, tent making. Although I'm not able to do that. If I go in as under a missionary visa, they will not allow me to make money in their country. You understand that, right? Missionaries have to have the support. I have to list on my application for my visa that I have a certain amount of money coming into my account from America in order for them to allow me into that country. I want us to see from this passage that God desires for every one of us to increase our faith in this area of giving in order so that we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ in the regions beyond us. So how will we know when our faith is increased in this area of giving? Let's look at some marks, some ways that we can know that our faith is growing in this area of giving. I love this example. I love it and I hate it, but I love it. But it's hard. 1 Kings chapter 17. You don't have to turn over that. I'll just kind of summarize it a little bit. But there's a famine in the land of Israel. And God sends his prophet Elisha to Ryan's. Do y'all have any Ryan's around here? Or you have like buffets around here? He sends him to a buffet. No. He sends him to the widow of Zarephath. And he comes to this widow woman. And he sees her. And she's out picking up two sticks. And he tells her, please go and make a cake for me. And she tells him in verse number 13 that I'm going to go and bake this last bit of meal and this last bit of oil that I have, and I'm going to bake a cake for myself and my son, and then we're going to die. It's the last thing that we have. And God leads that man of God to tell that woman something that is bizarre. He says, bake one for me first. Whew. Now, if I was that prophet, I would have had a hard time telling her that, honestly. But I think he was real hungry, and I believe God told him that. And did you know that it's a principle throughout the Word of God that God said, put me first? That's not something, you know, I just came up with this evening. He said, give me the first fruits. Give me the first. Give me your first child or redeem him. That was in the Old Testament, but what does God want? God wants to be first in our giving. Not after we take care of our 401ks and take care of putting away our money for our college, for our kids' colleges, and after we take care of all of our house payments and all of our other payments and everything that we, you know, list out that we have to take care of first. No, God said through his prophet, feed me first. Whew, that's a hard one. You know, there's another example in John chapter number 6 where that young little boy, he was hungry just like the rest of the multitudes that Jesus was preaching to. And yet he took his little lunch to Jesus and he gave it to him first. He didn't take out a portion for himself first, he gave it to him first. And guess what happened? What is given in faith always meets the need in the receiver and the giver. You know, the Bible says after that little boy gave his lunch, that they took up 12 baskets full. I'm thinking that maybe on the way home he was carrying one of those baskets. And he gave it back to his mother, and his mother said, where'd all this food came from? That little lunch you gave me? First I gave it to Jesus. And this is what was left over after he fed 5,000 plus people. Wow. Do you think of your finances that way? I'm going to give God as much as I can first, and then I'll survive on what's left over. Or do we think, after I take care of all of my needs and all of my wants and all the things that I need and all my preferences, then I'll give God what's left over? Sorry, I think we've got it backwards according to the Word of God. I was so convicted getting to know the pastor there where I was working in Kyunga, Western Province, and he had a lot of faith. And Papua New Guineans know how to survive on very little. It's incredible. They grow up in a culture where it's like Southern Florida, where it's a hot tropical climate year round. And so in some ways it is kind of a bad thing, but they don't really prepare for the future. Their gardens grow year round, so they've always got something to fall back on. But the pastor told me when he was going to Bible college, God saved him and God called him to preach, and he was going to that Bible school under the missionary there. Godly. I look up to Brother John Owens and James Stackhouse and some of these missionaries who went before me. And on the other side of the island in the city of Leh. But the pastor told me he was working for them, trying to build the mission station to work his way through Bible Institute, and he was getting paid 10 kina a week. This was about 25 years ago. That's $2.50 a week. And you know what he told me? He said, first I gave 5 kina in the offering, and then I lived off the other 5 kina. That was $1.50. And at that time, you could not survive off of $1.50 a week. But he said, I just put God first. And you know what that fellow did? He planted the church that I went to assist him in by himself with no outside monetary support personally. Why? Because he learned to put God first, and God took care of his needs and did something great through that man. First of all, we'll know our faith is growing when we put God first in our finances. Secondly, when we choose to give in spite of our circumstances and not because of them. Look with me back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. When we choose to give in spite of our circumstances and not because of them. This is probably the most common passage when it comes to preaching on faith promise missions and grace giving. And by the way, I don't relish the opportunity to preach on this. You know why? I told my wife, after preaching on this, I'm probably going to have to give more to missions. And praise God, he's probably going to lay on my heart, you need to be giving more to missions. And every time I preach on it, I just think, God, what could you do more through me? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he's using the Macedonians as an example of how we ought to give by the grace of God. In verse number 1, he said to the Corinthian church, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit by the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Okay, he does not say that these Macedonians were living in the wealthiest place on earth. They were amongst the wealthiest nations on earth. They had the highest living standard on earth. They had the most freedoms on earth. They had the most potential to gain wealth and to gain work and to grow in their financial situation on earth. No, he said they were in a situation of great trial of affliction and deep poverty. And yet, in spite of their circumstances, not because of them, they gave. And how? Liberally. Oof. But one great man of God said that when it comes to this thing of giving in spite of our circumstances, Some people like to say, I will give when I get to the place in my financial situation where I just want to be comfortable. Feel like I'm out from underneath this huge stone or dead and all of these things that have accumulated. You know what? God is more interested in us being conformed than he is in us being comfortable. If you wait until you get to that place when you have too much money in the bank account, that you can figure out how to spend it on making yourself more comfortable, then you'll never give the way God wants you to give. I had dinner with a fellow up in Michigan. And long story short, He has 9 children, and 3 of them are in college. And his wife passed away 2 years ago. And I was sitting there at dinner with him. We were sitting at Pizza Hut, and he wanted the privilege of taking my family out to dinner. And I felt, you know, like I didn't want him to pay for my dinner, because I could look at his kids, and we were in Michigan, and they weren't wearing the nicest jackets and the nicest shoes and stuff like that. And I felt kind of guilty just letting him pay for my lunch. And we're sitting there, we were talking and stuff, and he said, you know, before my wife passed away, she was handling all the finances, and I was always like really reluctant to give anything extra to the church. And I knew we didn't have a lot, and when she passed away, I didn't know what was in my bank account. She was keeping up with all of that stuff. But through that situation, I decided I was going to start giving to Faith Promise Missions. We'd never had enough money in the bank account leading up to that point, and I just figured, Lord, I'm trusting you for everything else. I'll trust you in this too. He said, you know what? God has blessed me. And just this year, I've been able to increase my missions giving over the last couple of years. And just this year, I was able to buy for the first time in my life a brand new vehicle. Wow. How do you think I felt? I felt about this small. I said, wow, praise God. And I only have 4 children. You know what I'm saying? We know we're growing in our faith when we give in spite of our circumstances and not because of them. Number 3, when we give liberally. Some of y'all are giving me that stone face. Please stop that. Please, it really helps me when you smile. If you feel like God is, you know, tugging on your heart, it's because your heart is attached to your wallet. So please just smile at me. When we give liberally, I look at this word. It says, unto the riches of their liberality. And I looked up some different some definitions for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 2. It says that they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And some say it means simplicity or purity. But I like the definition I heard Dr. Birch, one of the directors of Mission Board. He said, uncalculated. They gave in an uncalculated manner. Pure, out of the purity and the sincerity and the simplicity of their heart, they gave in that way. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 15, where I was just reading, it said, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, abounding beyond. That's the way that we ought to give. And when we get to that point, we'll know that we're growing in our faith in this area of giving. Many times we sit down and we calculate, how much do I have in my bank account? And here's one thing I've been guilty of doing. You know, some churches do this every year, where they encourage people to give, you know, every year. And so sometimes, if we're not careful, instead of praying and asking the Lord, what do you want me to give? By faith, depending upon you to give it to me and to enable me to take care of, to survive. What do you want me to give? We say, you know, if I just increase my Faith Promise $5 a week this year, then I can increase it $5 a week next year, and then so on and so forth. That's not giving liberally. You see what I'm saying? We know our faith is increasing in this area of giving when we give liberally, uncalculatingly, trusting the Lord, depending upon Him. Number 4, we know our faith is increasing when we give out of love for Jesus Christ. If you look with me in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he said, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Sometimes when I was in Papua New Guinea, I would get this little, you know, kind of like a self-pity syndrome. If you're a missionary and you've never had that, then God bless you. Your faith is greater than mine, and your dedication is greater than mine, and you're much more spiritual than I am. But you know what always pulled me out of that little pity party that I was having for myself was this verse. How that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Whew. Sometimes I would think to myself, you know, I really wish these people around here would appreciate me more. It's weird because I have white skin, and there's a gold mine about 3 hours up the highway from where I live, and there's a lot of oil and gas exploration going on around my area. There's a Chinook helicopter operating out of my airport, and this is like, you know, the middle of the jungle, okay? It's airplane access only for me to get there. There's no roads. So it's literally in the middle of the jungle, and yet I have a Chinook helicopter, and I don't even know what it costs to operate one of those things. You know, that's the one with two, you know, blades and stuff, and I can't even imagine $1,000 an hour or whatever it costs. But here it goes every day, carrying 20-foot shipping containers to these different oil drilling well sites around the area. And when the people around there see my skin, they don't see there's a missionary. They see there's somebody who's here to take our natural resources. And that stone face, man, it took literally 2.5 years for them to stop giving me that until they realized I was here to preach the gospel and to help them and not take their oil and gas and gold and all that stuff. But it took a while. And sometimes I would have a pity party. You know, sometimes when we think about, there goes the church, you know, always wanting us to give, give, give. Pastors talking about giving more, giving more. You know, we cannot give anything in comparison to what Christ gave for us. I think, you know, I gave up America. What is that? This country is literally following hard after Satan. We're passing laws about killing our babies and all this stuff. So much. So what? I gave up living here to go live in that country. Christ gave up sitting on the throne of glory with all the multitude of angels surrounding him, worshiping him for all of eternity, come down to this sin cursed earth. Couldn't we, out of love for Jesus Christ, let me explain it like this. Let's say that you get up every morning and tell your wife that you love her. That's what I try to do. By the way, that's a good idea. Don't just think if you told her that, like, the day you got married, it's going to, you know, suffice for the rest of the time. But you tell your wife you love her every day, but you just cannot find it in yourself to buy her a new dress or give her a gift certificate or whatever to buy herself a new dress. You're always getting her stuff from Goodwill. And you're always getting her this fake jewelry from, like, you know, Walmart and stuff like that. And she's driving this really old car that keeps breaking down on her. And yet, somehow, you managed to buy yourself a new set of golf clubs last year and buy yourself a new hunting rifle. Now, this could work either way, okay? I'm just saying, for example. And yet, you tell her that you love her. Here, it says that when we give, we are proving the sincerity of our love. Wow. I love you, Lord, so I'm going to give 1% on top of my tithes and offerings. Eesh. Are we really proving how much we love the Lord by our giving? Are we proving how much we love ourselves by our giving? That's what that example proved. Not how much that man loved his wife, but how much he loved himself. No matter what he said, or no matter what mattered was his actions. We know we're growing in our faith in the area of giving when we give out of love for Jesus Christ. Our stewardship does not depend on our circumstances, but upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. Next, number 5, when we take a step of faith. James chapter 2, verse number 20 says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Sometimes I think about, you know, some missionaries. I know we're not supposed to do this, but I, like, unfortunately compare myself to other missionaries, and I think, wow, that missionary must have, like, this huge amount of faith. And God must have given me, like, you know, half of a grain of mustard seed or something like that, because I don't seem to be able to do those things that they're doing. And it's not about how much faith we have. I believe our faith is like a muscle. You know, just every single one of you has muscles. I can tell because you walked in here tonight. Now, I can tell some of you are exercising your muscles like myself. They're like huge and rippling and stuff like that. Just ask my wife. She will tell you they're huge and rippling, and you can see them from a mile away. Some of you have muscles that you're exercising, and some have muscles that need exercising. We'll just put it like that. And our faith is like that. When you take a step of faith and you say, "God, I'm going to step out to give double what I gave last year," guess what? Your faith is going to be increased. It's going to grow. When you don't take a step of faith, it's going to, what does that say, shrink, or what is it, atrophy? That's what muscles do when they aren't exercised. What is hindering our faith from growing in our life? It's not that we don't have faith, just as in this passage. It wasn't that the man did not have faith, that it was non-existent, but that it was dead. It was not being active. It was not being used. When we take a step of faith, we're simply taking God at his word. What does the Bible say in Philippians 4:19? It's one of most people's favorite verses. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful promise? You know who that promise was given to? It was given to people who were giving sacrificially to meet the needs of the Apostle Paul. They were giving over and above to meet Paul's needs. And God said, guess what? You're giving sacrificially by faith. God's going to supply your needs. Sometimes we try to supply our own needs. We say, God, I'm going to take care of all of my needs first. And then I'm going to, after that's done, I'll see what's left over. And then I'll divide that between the things that I really want to do and the things that I think I should do because my neighbors are doing it, and the things that the other neighbors are doing for their kids, I'll take care of that, and then I'll give. God doesn't promise to supply that person's needs. Sorry, I don't believe. Let me ask you a question. Is it a step of faith? I'll just put, for example, for myself. Would it be a step of faith for me to give $5 a week to missions? Sorry, no, it wouldn't be a step of faith for me because I know I can afford that. That would be kind of easy. Would it be a step of faith for me to give $10 a week? Personally, no, it wouldn't be. $20 a week? Now we're getting close to where it's going to be a step of faith. You see what I'm saying? That's a step of faith. It's something that is going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be difficult. If it's easy for you, then that's not faith. See, some of you need to double or triple your missions giving because you're not giving by faith. You're giving out of, you know, your abundance. That's not giving by faith. You don't have to depend upon the Lord to supply your needs. Giving by faith is when we're taking God at his words that he will fulfill his promises to supply all of our needs. Lastly, I believe. I said I believe. You know those pastors that are like, you know, lastly, and then they say next, next. I don't know. I don't think that your pastor's like that, but I think this is my last point. We know we're growing in our faith when we stop limiting God. I remember when I read this verse for the first time, Psalm 78:41. I don't know if it was for the first time, but it was the first time the Lord convicted me from this verse. It says, yea, and they turned back and tempted God, speaking of the children of Israel, not going by faith into the promised land, and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, we serve an amazing God. We serve an all-powerful God. Do you know he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? And I remember when I was in Texas and they were all talking about, I wish I had the mineral rights for all the farmland that I have because then I could have, you know, percentage of all the oil that was coming. You know, he owns the mineral rights too. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he owns the mineral rights and he owns the gold under there and the oil. He owns it all. We know our faith is growing when we stop limiting God. There was another time when God was limited. There was a woman that came to Elisha and she said, I'm starving to death. And he told her, go and collect all the vessels you can find. So she sent her son around to collect these vessels. And he said, take your little bit of oil that you have and pour it into those vessels. And so she did, and she closed the windows and doors in her house. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse number 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more. If she had collected more vessels, God would have blessed her more. If she had just had more faith to collect more vessels, God would have blessed her more. I'm going to illustrate it like this evening. Money that God will give through you, that he might never give to you if he saw he could not trust you to pass it on to others. So I have here a funnel. This was a hard thing to get this evening. It took four of your pastors in the church to get me one funnel. I was really hoping for like three or four, but that's okay. One is enough. One is enough. A lot of times we look at our finances like as a strong box or like a wallet. We think of our finances like how much is in my wallet. We really ought to think of our finances like this. We ought to think of ourselves as this funnel. Now, you know this funnel cannot hold very much if you like stop it up, right? Some of y'all. I'm preaching to myself tonight too, okay? Please help me. This funnel, if you stop it up, it's only going to hold, I don't know, maybe 8 ounces. But if you unstop it, How much can it hold? Well, it's not going to hold anything, Brother Josh. You're kind of dumb. No, but the funnel is going to be able to hold the same amount, but it's going to have more going through it, more going through it, more going through it. That's what it's like when you say, God, what can you give me through me for the cause of world evangelism? When you turn into this funnel, you are going to stop limiting God from blessing you in your life. But as long as you say, God, I know what I have right now, and out of that, I know that I can only afford to give this much, you're limiting God in your life. Just like that woman who only collected a certain number of pitchers. Now, I'm not saying go and be crazy and whatnot. I'm saying trust God. I'm saying take a step of faith. I'm saying take a leap of faith. He said, try me. He said, see if I'll not pour out open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you shall not be able to receive it. I know that's often used in reference to the tithe, but I believe when we give extravagantly to God, he'll be able to give extravagantly to us. Because why? Most of the people that I've read about and I've seen, most of the millionaires and those kind of people, they're not real godly people. But those people who learn to give and God can give through them as much as he wants, wow, there's no limit to what God can do through us. I'm going to find out, I told you that was the last point and this is my last illustration. There was a young man named Damien, and I think of him because I asked the Lord to send me some young men to come to my Bible Institute, and the Lord sent me some interesting young men. Not one came from the church I was working in. So this young man actually came, his parents went to the Rainbow Church, and you don't even want me to tell you what they believe in the Rainbow Church, but it's not having anything to do with what we would think of as rainbow here in America. But this young man's name was Damien. When he came to the Bible Institute, he was a sixth grade dropout. His English was very poor. And we call them, the town people in Papua New Guinea call the village people that live in the more remote places, they call them bush people. You'd call them real hillbilly, okay? So this guy was real hillbilly. And he came, and you could tell he'd never had many clothes. And I paid him just to cut the grass around the place just so he could have enough food to survive and come to the Bible Institute. And I remember, out of that little bit of money, he went to the secondhand clothing place in town and got this hoodie that he thought was cute. And it was actually a girl's hoodie, but he didn't know that. And he wore that hoodie all over the place, zipped it up, put the hood up and everything in like 90-degree weather. It was the first hoodie he'd ever owned. But I think of that young man. I got to see him come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I got to see him grow spiritually. His English was terrible. I kept trying to make him drop out of the school because I felt like he was holding the other boys back. But I remember the first time we were getting ready to go on an outreach, and I said, do we have our loudspeaker? Do we have this? Do we have our tracks? Do we have everything we need? And he said, missionary, can we stop and pray? Whew. Yes, we can, Mr. Hillbilly. You're convicting me, Lord. And I remember the first time he came to me and he said, missionary, can I please miss church this weekend? He hadn't been saved very long. And I said, now what? He said, I want to go up to some of the villages that are a long ways away from here and witness to some of my family members that I know. I've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was like, yeah, I guess you can miss church this weekend and go and witness. People need the Lord. And when our faith is increased, when we take a step of faith and grow in this area of giving, missionaries will be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. And that's what I believe the Lord wants us to do this evening. If we could have the pianist come and we can have our invitation. I'm going to ask everybody to stand and bow our heads and close our eyes if we can have a verse. Maybe there's somebody in here this evening. You say, Brother Josh, I need to grow in my faith in this area of giving. Now's the time to make that commitment. Now is the time to make that decision. If you feel like you need to come and pray, you feel welcome. If there's some other thing on your heart that you need to give to the Lord, you go ahead, Pastor.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Every service that comes, we want to give people the opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And if you're here in this church service, but you've never said yes to Jesus, in just a moment when Brother Gary begins to sing, I want to invite you to come. Let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you, a man with a man, a lady with a lady. Maybe tonight God's just dealing with your heart about your faith increasing. Who among us does not need our faith to grow? If we're a healthy Christian, we're going to be growing. There's no doubt about that. May the Lord add His blessing to this. Father, take it and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Brother Gary singing. If God's dealing with you, I want you to come. As He sings, you come now. Would you please?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. Thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Just keep playing through softly, please. You can be seated. Man, if you'll go ahead and bring these up with you at this time. These Faith Promise Commitment cards were in your bulletin. And the men are coming just in case you need one of these. I'd like for everybody who calls this church your church home, at least you, anybody's welcome to have one, but if you call this church your church home, I'd like to have a copy of this, at least every family unit. So as she's playing through, men, if you'll just make your way up the aisle, I'd like, if you need one of these, please grab one of these. We'll go over this momentarily here and give some direction. Don't do anything with it yet. Let me explain it to you, and then we'll proceed here. You know, I was thinking as just here at the end of the message, toward the end of the message, the thought hit me. I wonder 100 years from right now, 100 years from this moment, what will we have wished we'd have done more of? It's a great question, isn't it? I understand what you're saying, Brother Josh. They're giving me that same blank look tonight. But I do wonder, 100 years from now, what will you and I have wished that we'd have done more of? And there's no doubt this is part of it. There's no question. No question. And we thank the Lord for what He's doing. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to show you how smart your pastor is. You ready for it? The more that comes in, the more we can do for God. The more that comes in, the more missionaries we can bring on. Hey, God's given us a great missionary family. But He wants that to increase. Did you know that? He doesn't want us to sit by and just say, well, we're done. No, He's constantly wanting to take us to the next level. Constantly. And that just means that I do my part, you do your part. That's it. That's it. If God tells you don't give anything, don't give a dime. But just obey the Lord. The way this works, I'm not going to take time to explain like I did this morning. This is not a pledge. Nobody's going to come looking for this. You don't even have to put your name on this. The way this works, you'll notice now, it says promised each week. Now that does not mean that you're going to give every week, okay? But this is just to help us get an accurate account. In other words, God may be laying on your heart, I'm just going to throw a number out, $5,000 this year for missions. We want you to divide that by 52 and put that number down on this part, this perforated part. That white part is what you're going to turn in right here. This part is for you to keep, okay? Just as a reminder, as a prayer thing. But if you're ready to do this, now if you're not ready, if you're still praying, God bless you. Because from this point forward, we're not going to take the time in the service to do this. But from this point forward, you can turn this in any offering that we take, okay? Just turn it into the offering plate. And several weeks from now, at least a month, maybe 6 weeks, somewhere in that area, we will put in a bulletin what the final tally is for the commitment of this local church. But if you're ready tonight to turn this in, we're going to pray with you here momentarily. This is above the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. This is a free will offering. You know, sometimes a pastor, sometimes a preacher, and sometimes churches get accused. All you do is ask for money. When's the last time we asked for money here in this pulpit? By the way, giving is part of worship, friends. Giving's part of worship. This is God's Lord's last command before he sent it back up into heaven. Don't you think the last command is going to be very near to his heart? I mean, after he's resurrected, he's getting ready to go back to heaven, and the last thing he told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's his last command. And as you've heard, it's not original with me. His last command should be our first concern. And that's what this is. So I'm going to pray with you, and if you're ready to turn these in up in the balcony down here below, I hope we've got somebody in the balcony to gather these as well. We'll need somebody up there. I want to pray with you, and if you're ready to turn this in, I just want you to start passing them in, and they'll start bringing them this way. Let's pray. Father, would you help us now? May the will of God be done, I pray. Help us all to do our part, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays through, if you're ready to fill this out, I just want you to check it off, tear that little part off, turn them in, and they'll start bringing them this direction, okay? Thank you for the message tonight, Brother Josh. All these missionaries have done a fabulous job preaching this week, every one of them. And I appreciate these messages so very much. Thank the Lord for it. While we're gathering some of these, we got this right here. One of our missionaries, Brother Stephen Trail, is part of this. And they have sent this to us. I requested this. It's just a little brochure on praying for missionaries. It looks like this. These are available for you as you leave tonight out on the Welcome Center. I'd like to encourage you to get one of these. Every family unit get this. It just kind of encourages you about how to pray better for missionaries, all these kind of things. So please take advantage of that. That'll be a good thing, okay? You keep turning these things in and keep bringing them up this direction, men. That'll be great. $20. $25. $40. $50. $19.23. $18. $184. $46. $25. $15. $60. $40. $8. $15. $12. $1. $50. $7. $20. $20. $50. $180. $20. $45. $46. $15. $20. $6. $2.50. $10. $32. $46. $12.50. $55. If you'll bow your head for just a moment, close your eyes. If you'll bow your head for just a moment, close your eyes. If you're not comfortable with this, that's okay. But I'm struggling with one of these numbers here. I just want to make sure. Is there somebody who turned in $500 a week? And you do not mind me knowing that. God bless you. Thank you. $500 a week. $20 a week. Thank you for that. I hope I did not do something I wasn't supposed to do there, but that's why I had every head bowed, every eye closed. Is that it tonight? Is that it tonight? Okay, you can look this way. If you'll come bring that to me. I was praying for $250,000 for the first day. It stands at $255-something right now. So praise the Lord for that. Our goal is $325. But for the first day, $255 is not too bad, is it? That's outstanding. Not a penny of it staying here. Not one penny. Going for world evangelism. Praise the Lord for it. I'd like for these missionary families and your children that are in the service to come up here with me for just a moment, if you wouldn't mind to do that. I want us where our folks can take some pictures. I'm sure some of you would like to take some pictures of these families while they're coming. It's been such an honor to have them here. No doubt about it. Such an honor to have them here. And as they come, I just kind of want to introduce them to you so you know who they are. This young man standing right beside me, he has some of those rippling muscles, it looks like, you know, all of this. This right here is Mark and Natasha Tolson. They have 5 children, and we're so glad that they're here with us during this conference. Right beside them, that is Brother Josh Florence and his dear wife and children that they have there. We have the Gazaways on the end down there, our missionaries to Egypt, the Florences to Papua New Guinea, the Tolsons to China, and the Northcotts right here with their children. I call it Newfoundland. That's just the way it's pronounced here. You know what I'm saying? All of that kind of stuff. But we are so honored to support these missionaries. We also had Stephen Carrier and his wife with us. They all did a fabulous job. No doubt about that. And I want them to know that we are so honored and so privileged to support you on a monthly basis. I mean, this right here, this week just lights my fire. I'm just being honest with you. And this is what God's doing around the world. I was thinking about these missionaries and how all of them are different, just like you and me. And God uses everybody. Do you know that? Anybody that's willing to be used, God uses them. We sent out a questionnaire, and sometimes we'll do big gifts and all this kind of stuff, but some of you have so many things going on that you have to get to the field to get there, and you know, to get what you need and all of this. So what we decided to do is, this is something that the church has done for you, and what this is just a notebook full of gift certificates, places to eat, Chick-fil-A, Cracker Barrel, good night. There's Little Caesars, there's Domino's, there's a Visa card, there's McDonald's, there's Subway, Burger King, there's Walmart, good night, help yourself, you know what I mean? This is the Gazaways. And then here for these that have children, there's a lot of Cracker Barrel and Chick-fil-A, and I'm taking some time here, but anyway, there's Little Caesars, there's Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's, there's Walmart, there's McDonald's again, there's Hardee's. There's Burger King, there's Walmart again, there's a Texas Roadhouse, I don't know, whatever, friends. I mean, it's all good. So what I'd like you to do, this one that has the Gazaway's name on it, that's the Gazaway's, okay? If you'll pass that on down, And if you'll take one of these and pass it down. And what we decided to do. Yes. He's such a blessing. You know what I mean? How many of you think we ought to drop his support? Would you raise your hand? It's very good. What we've got here is, obviously, I told him I didn't want him to pay for anything while they're here. So your reimbursement check is here. Your travel check is here. What we decided to do, because you've got so many various things, is each one of you are getting a love offering this week of $1,500. And we want to do that. That's from our church. This is obviously the travel expenses and all of that. It is our honor to have you with us. I really, really mean that. And I appreciate the church unloading on them. All the food was great this week. All of that was good. Now, brother, this is Matt Northcutt, and I'm going to keep my eye on you until he gets that, okay? This is Brother Florence's. Notice I'm looking at him the whole time. It's Brother Gazaway, and this is your wife's, okay? Very good. Now, while they're up here, are you happy we're supporting families like this? Say amen. Amen. Now we come to my favorite time of the conference. I love this time. And what we do here, and I hope the kiddos are ready for this. Are you ready, children? I know we've got some out in the lobby. We give out banks that they can decorate. And we encourage our folks to have their children work, like around the house or do some errands, to get some money to put into the banks. And they want to lay it at your feet. Our children. We're trying to teach them that life is bigger than themselves, and that these are the real heroes right here. These are the heroes. So children, while she plays through something, you come on down now. Would you do that? All these kiddos, bring your banks. Put them right here, just right here at the feet of the missionaries. And I want you to stay up here with us now, okay? All the kiddos, just put your banks right here, and you stay up here with us. Stay right up here with us. Do not go back and be seated. I'd like to get a picture of this, okay? Now what we'll do is count this, and we'll send you a check, probably just to your mission board. We'll just divide it and send it to you. But these are our children, and they want to tell you that they love you, okay? Isn't that precious? Isn't that great? Look at these little kids coming here. Look at that. There's one's got three coming. Look at that. Isn't that good? Yeah. By the way, some of our bus children got involved in this. They were not here tonight, but some of these banks belong to some of our bus kids. So they brought their bank this morning, and these kids are bringing this to you tonight. Hey, that's precious right there, friends. Isn't that good? That's a great, great thing. Wonderful. Very, very good. Can we do this? Let's bring all them kiddos up here, okay? Let's get them up here. Bring them up here. I want them just to surround these missionaries, get around them. Come on up here. It's good to see my baby girl Jessa on her knees on the altar right there. That is great. I hope that lasts for a long time. Very, very good. Very, very good. We're going to bring them up here. Some of you want to come get some pictures, help yourself, okay? So some of you parents want to do that. I would take advantage of it, no doubt about it. Take some pictures here. That'll be good. While we're getting that situated, I remind you of a couple of things. Pick up one of these ways to pray for missionaries on your way out. Also, our special invite for our Easter service next Sunday. If you'll do that, that'll be a good thing. Kiddos, you did a great job. I appreciate you working so hard for this, and that's a good thing. We're taking a few minutes here. I hope you don't mind. And get some pictures here, and then we're just about done, okay? Very, very, very good. Kiddos, thank you. I'm proud of you. You are dismissed to go back to be with your parents. All these missionaries and your host families, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you to the gymnasium. It's been our privilege to have you with us. I mean that. God bless you. You all use that money however you see fit, okay? Whatever's your pressing need, you help yourself. That'll be a good thing. So you and your host family, if you'll make your way to the gymnasium. Brother Gary, do you need to come make some announcements here? Anything like that? Bob's got it. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Bob. Please stay with us. Even if you don't stay very long, if you'll go through the gymnasium, just let these missionaries know how proud we are of them. All of that will be a good thing, and I encourage you to do this, okay?
All right. As the kiddos are leaving, let me give you a few instructions as we head over to the gym. It is raining, so if you'd like to go through the buildings, you'll go out these back doors, down the main hallway, take a right, most of the way down the hallway. Just follow the mass of people going that way. We do have our Feast of Nations tonight. We've got some small plates. If I see anyone walking around with a Pyrex dish filling it, unacceptable, okay? If anyone has a cart that they're loading with food, feel free to tackle them and take a bite of what they have. Okay, just kidding. We've got several different items over here. One of the main ones, again, selecting the finest ingredients for our church family, our dear friends from a fine Italian establishment, Papa John's. We've got some pizza and plenty of other things. So grab one of those small plates, work your way around to the tables, and have a little snack. There are some water dispensers available in the middle section. And kiddos, if you have your passport, make sure you make your way over to the passport table. See us there first, and then you'll visit China and the United States. If you've got all 8 stamps, then you can go into the special room to get a reward off of the table. All right, let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. And then
I wanted the missionaries to get out right quick. Nobody has to do this at all. But if some of you would like to leave something in their hand tonight, help yourself, okay? It'd be a blessing to them. These are precious people with us, no doubt about it. It's been a great conference. Praise the Lord for it. Thank you for being here. Brother Bobby Brown, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please. God bless you. Please stay with us for a few minutes, okay? Thank you for being here.